Okay, so today will be the end of this series. I don't know if I want how much of the older stuff I want. I'm just going to start with where I am, and if I need to go back, I'll go back. Because if I go back, I might not, then I might start off lying by saying this is the last message. So let's just go from here. I'm going to start at verse 10, and then we're going to go to verse 14, maybe 15, but definitely my plan was to end at 14, but we'll go with it. We'll just flow. So 10, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth for such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquities. We went through that seriously last week, your name's sake, for it is great. So he's acknowledging my iniquities are great. He's letting it be known. I got big issues, and my iniquities are big. And he's saying, so for the sake of your name, because for your name's sake, because I'm your name, I'm your child. What man is it that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. We went through all of that. Won't go through all that again. His soul shall dwell at ease. Boy, did we go through that. And his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. So there's a couple of things I want to talk about based on what we've covered and where we've been. Again, you should have... How many of you listened to last week's message again? Yeah, okay, good. So did I a couple of times. So a couple of things that I just went over those because they weren't my points for last week that came back to me now that I said I want to kind of put a point to or put a pin in or bring attention to, if you don't mind. For thy namesake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity. Well, the word iniquity is something that the church uses regularly. It dawns on me that most people don't know the definition of iniquity. So when you're saying, Lord, forgive or pardon my iniquity, what are you asking God to pardon you from? How many of you have used the word iniquity? Not even in church or church things? You've heard it, though. Everybody in church has heard it. How many of you know what it is? Sin, sin. Sin, sin, sin. Everybody saying sin? Misdeeds. Bad judgment. What? Parting your condemnation? No, you're saying the word right, but no, condemnation is the after effect, right? That's not your iniquity. But I get what you're saying, but yeah, no. Rainey hit a few of them. It's definitely your sin. All of you have said it. It could be condemnation. Stop talking. Thank you. I'm getting ready to tell you. I'm doing like the Judge Marilyn. Like I'm about to judge. Don't talk anymore. It has to do with your perversity, yes. Your depravity, yes. Your guilt. That's why I said it could be the condemnation, but yes. It's roughing it in, but you can get it in. But the punishment of iniquity is, or perversity, or guilt, or sin, or shame, the consequence of it is more of the issue. The consequence or the punishment for the iniquity. So when you say, Lord, forgive my iniquities, what you're saying is, not forgive my mistakes. Forgive me the judgment due me because of them. See, that's different, right? See, if you do something and you kill somebody and you say to the people, the relatives, whatever, forgive me, I'm sorry for what I did, and they say, we forgive you, and the judge says, well, they forgive you, and we forgive you, and you're being sentenced to 15 years in jail. We do forgive you, but you paying the penalty for what you did, and you're going to jail. And the Lord will be with you, and you may have a beautiful prison ministry. But nonetheless, there's a consequence for your action. We're saying, forgive us, not just the action, but the consequence. See, this is the kind of stuff we say in church all the time, but do we dig into it? Lord, don't just forgive me my faults. Spare me the consequences of them. I figured that would touch some souls. I've often asked God to forgive me my shortcomings, but never thought about the consequences of them. Now, let me take it a step further. Because that's an approach, but it's a selfish approach. You still should pray it, but it's a selfish approach because that's saying, forgive me my sins in the judgment or the consequence due me. But do you say, forgive me my sins and the consequences that it may have caused on others? See, we want out. But sometimes I do or say things that not just affects me, but hurts people around me or does harm to other people around me. And do I have a sense of acknowledgement that the iniquity I'm asking to be forgiven is not just how it affects me, but everything and everyone around me? You forgiven, but you still fired. You cost the company money. Now, forgive me, please don't fire me. And because I really need this job. And the person never says, and I'm going to make restitution for what I did wrong. I'm willing to pay back what I stole. See, we're talking about iniquity. It's the consequence for your action, not just how it affects you, but everything and everyone around you. Forgive me for stealing your money, but then you don't mention I'm going to give it back. See, this is a good conversation to have with church folk. I'm going to tell you why that's interesting and deep that I use that as a statement. I remember seeing this scripture, and I saw it, and I said, I never want to be guilty of taking anything again. Bible says, if a thief is found, he must return sevenfold that which he has taken. Now you understand the depth of the word iniquity. He's saying, forgive me my shortcoming and the consequence of it. Got it? Deep. So, what we're doing, we're going over the verses, we're wrapping up, and we're going over some of the verses, and I'm going back now and touching others on some of the words that didn't get covered in the past weeks. We were in verse 10. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. Psalms 25, verse 10. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. It said, pardon my iniquities in verse 11. For it is great. My iniquity, for it is great. Now, there's two other things I want to cover before I move on to the end of it. He said, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such that keep his covenant and his testimonies. I want to cover testimonies, but since we're on iniquity, verse 11, I want to cover the word pardon. Because he talked about the consequences. I shared what iniquity was, the consequences for the actions, not just to forgive my actions or my sins, but the consequences caused by them, or that are due me, the judgment due me for them. But let's go to the word pardon. Now, that's a simple definition. It's to forgive or to be forgiven, but it's also to forgive. So in other words, are you ready? You're listening? You sure? When you're asking God to forgive you your iniquities, and you ask him to pardon, there's another pot to pardon that's not just God's, but yours. The simplest thing I deal with people in the church all the time is unforgiveness of themselves. How many of you remember your shortcomings better than you remember your successes? We had a conversation a few weeks back. Yeah, I know I'm being very, like, straight on board today, because I want to close this up solid. I want to make sure there's no loose ends. And I shared the word about we can be so focused on the lack or what we lack or our weaknesses that we don't focus on our strengths and develop them. Even if you did wrong, if you're truly asking God for a pardon, are you listening? You can't receive a pardon that you don't receive. I saw a couple of faces. If they tell you you're free to go and you don't leave the jail, what could they do? If you don't forgive yourself, if you still going to feel shame and guilt about it after God and you have talked and you've received the pardon, what good is it? Have you ever asked somebody to forgive you for something you've done? Sometimes they said yes, sometimes they said no. It didn't make a difference what they said if you didn't leave there pardoned within yourself. This is huge. This is huge. There's situations where I had to say, I said, forgive me. They said, no. I said, okay. I'm still forgiving me. Come on, I know this is speaking to somebody. I did my part. You ain't going to make me feel guilty. I'm not going to feel bad every time I see you now. I repented from a real heart. Now, if you just said, I'm sorry, or that I'm sorry if I offended you, bull crap, then yeah, you should feel like crap because you're full of crap. But if you legitimately, first before God, repented and received his forgiveness and asked that person for forgiveness, where they choose to stand with it, that's not your problem. And you can't be slave to that for the rest of your life. I know somebody's getting free right now. And they want to throw it up every time you speak to them and try to make you feel some kind of guilt. And it's like, no, 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 no. I don't mind talking about it with you as much as you want to talk about it. From the point of, this is where we were and this is where we're going as a result of that. And this is what we've learned from that and we're getting better. And we keep that as a memory so that we remember not to do that again. But I'm not going to go to the guilt cycle with you every time you bring it up. Is somebody receiving this?
A pardon has to be complete on both sides. God pardons you, and then you have to receive by faith the pardon. Or you can't walk free. So how are you free from the iniquity if you don't pardon yourself? How are you delivered if you don't count yourself delivered? I told you, it's a little serious today, huh? But these are the things that you protect your seed. I want to bring this home in a very serious way. I want us to understand it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. And there's times we're trying to stand, we're trying to believe, and we're trying to muster up the faith. I believe, and the wind is hitting. And then you feel yourself sinking in the middle of trying to believe. Can I get a witness from somebody? You know, and it's these foundations that are missing that make us unable to stand. See, God designed you to stand flat on your feet. A lot of us are trying to hold our balance on our toes and wonder why we get pushed over so easy. Well, because you're not supposed to be on your toes. You're not supposed to be on edge. You're supposed to be flat-footed and know what you know and stand the way you stand. And when the wind comes and the rains descend, you on that rock and you don't move. So those are the little things the enemy uses to get in. Well, let's bring up some guilt. You know you've done some wrong. You know, Angel ain't always been right with the Lord. And who are you to ask for this? Yeah, just this time you said this and you did this. You're saying forgive me, but what about that? And so now you have this history of faults and failures. So let me just kind of put your minds at ease a little bit, okay? How many of you, let me see by a show of hands, feel like you've messed up some areas in life? Let me see. Everybody, good, okay. On God's word, my promise to you as a pastor and as a prophet and as a preacher, you will mess up again. You will. You're human. That's not the point. The point is, when you receive forgiveness, do you receive forgiveness? Or are you going to keep living out your last mistake? When you receive healing, can you receive healing? When you go before God and God says, I forgive you, and the people or the persons refuse to acknowledge you as forgiven, can you just walk in it? I used to say this about my mom all the time. My mom would hold you to your yesterday. It didn't make a difference how much you changed. My big sister said, she know I'm telling the truth. Mom, I remember I had a thing, I was late to everything. So my mother would say, well, you know, I'm going to let you know early because you know you're always late. Now, I had changed that in my life, and it had been years. I was recovered. I had gone to Lateness Anonymous. I was free. I was delivered. I hadn't been late for years. I had been known to everybody from that point for being prompt. And every time my mom would say, well, you know, can you come and meet me? So I say, yeah, well, you know, I'm going to call you early because you know how late you are. And I'm like, Mom, I haven't been late for 5 years. Like, can you please stop saying that? Acknowledge that I have not been late. Yeah, I guess. She's like, no, I got to hold that over you. I got that. That's my thing. I had to be free. Amen. I knew. So it didn't bother me when she said it. The first couple of times it did, but then it hit me. Look, that's her thing. Let her have it. Because when you begin to, oh, my Lord, I'm going to say this. When you begin to change on people and in front of people who are not changing, they're not willing to accept your change. They're not willing to accept that. They're going to keep trying to hold over you who you were. They don't want to let, they're not accepting it. They can be right in front of their face, as big as life. They're not going to accept it. We call them in the street terms, haters. They're not going to acknowledge it. Even if you say, you don't see that, that changes. Yeah, okay. And they'll switch the subject to something else. Because they don't want to talk to you about how you're improving when they're not. They don't even want to acknowledge it. So at this point, this word pardon is huge. You have to pardon yourself. You have to say, God, I received the difference. I'm going to share this as a point. Going back to the weight thing. It's amazing to me. I was talking to God about it. And God, what's the message in it? What is it you're trying to say to me? And the first 2 months, I lost 20 pounds. And I would say to people, do I look like I lost weight to you? And they go like,
A little, yeah, you can see it in your face. And
I'm like, God, I was getting frustrated. Like, it's 20 pounds. Nobody seeing nothing. And God said, is that what you're doing it for? Is that what you want? Is that what you need? Wow. See, can we have a real conversation? He said, is that why you're doing it? I thought you agreed for your health and well-being and, you know, and a word between me and you that you need to get in your CEO shape, and that's been the word. I said, you're right, Father. Forgive me. Pardon me. And I pardon myself. From this point on, I don't care what nobody see. This is between me and you. And look like between that 20 and then there were 3 in between after that, everybody went crazy on the 3. Oh my God, what happened to you? I'm like, 20? 3? Are you freaking kidding me? And it showed me something. Are you receiving this?
Yes.
It showed me something. Get it right with God, and you and God be good, and let everybody else figure it out later. You don't do stuff for the adulation and praise of the people. You do stuff because it's between you and God, and people figure it out eventually. If they don't, they don't. So now I don't walk up to people anyway. So can you tell I lost weight? You can, you can't. What difference does it make? I'm not doing it for you to tell. Same thing with everything else in God. Why are you studying? So that you can show people you know Scripture? Why do you keep asking for forgiveness? So that they can finally say it in a way that you finally feel forgiven because they said it? See, you better wake up here. I'm trying to tell you something. Pardon is God pardoning you and you pardoning yourself. If you do anything in this world and you're waiting for the masses to agree, it's not going to happen, number one. Number two, critics are critics. It's in the title. They will criticize. Let me see if you get this. Husbands, wives, family, friends, whatever you want to call them, major in being critics. Sometimes they think they're being helpful. But it's my job to constantly remind you that you were wrong. And it's my, come on now. And it's my job to, because I'm trying to keep you humble. I don't want you to get too big-headed. So I don't want to tell you how much improved you are because I don't want it to go to your head. What really is, I don't really want to acknowledge that you're getting better than me, and I'm not. You're growing, and I'm not. You're becoming better, and I'm not. You're achieving something with the Lord, and I have not. So I'm not going to acknowledge it. Sometimes that's the root of it. Sometimes they really believe they're helping you, stay humble, and what they're calling humble, but what they really mean is, I'm going to not ever elevate you because I don't want you to get big-headed. Well, see, Esther I work with. I check Esther all the time, but I'm always ending or starting and ending with something that pushes you up and how great you are. Because you can't say you're trying to keep me humble by consistently. I don't try to keep you humble. I tell you to stay humble. But I always push you up. Correct? The key is God will always exalt you. He will always call you the great thing that you don't see yourself to be. He will always tell you those things that you are, or as the scripture says, he called those things that be not as though they're not. And I love to add this to the point. That's a human statement. God doesn't call things that be not as though they were. That's a human statement. Some of you are looking at me saying, that scripture says that, Pastor. No. That's for your understanding. God calls those things that be not as though they were. It's for your understanding. Because God can't call something and it be not. Light be and it was. If God calls it, it is. So he can't call something that be not. Because once he called it, it be. That's for us to understand that God speaks what he knows is truth to you who don't yet understand what truth is. So if he says you're forgiven, or your pardon, or your iniquity is pardon, is not based on feeling, is not based on the agreement of man, is not great based on all stars aligning and a light shining down from the sky right over you. It's based on the truth that he said it and he called it when it seemed not to be to you, and it was because he called it. Can I let that go now? I said, I'm going to beat this parting thing in until I feel like everybody in the room has it. The key to being delivered in God is being delivered. Yeah, I'll let you sit on that. I'm not even going to explain that one. I'm going to just let that. That's a riddle. Just throw it out there. So he pardons. He said, pardon my iniquity, verse 11. For it is great. So he acknowledges it's a big iniquity. And I need forgiveness. Paul makes a statement in the King James, New Testament, that hit me in this verse. I guess I'm still on it a little bit. Forgetting those things which are behind me. How many of you know the scripture? I press forward to the mark of the high calling. How many of you know that scripture? Okay, if somebody look it up and tell them exactly where it is for now. Here's the thing about that that was really powerful to me. Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He wrote most of it. Most of his books. Philippians 3:14. Very interesting. Very interesting statement. This is a man, in my understanding or my estimation or my conclusion or my research. Are you listening to me? That had to understand pardon like nobody else. This is a man who had to understand forgiveness like nobody else. And he had to be able to receive pardon from God and within himself like nobody else. Who wants to know why? Ask me why. I read that and I said to myself, forgetting those things that are behind me. What things were behind Paul that he had to forget? And as soon as I thought it hit me, he killed a lot of Christians. He helped the cults while they stoned Stephen. He was on the road to Damascus and went blind. And when God sent, I forgot the gentleman's name, to lay hands on him and heal him, he said, you know who that is? That's Paul, the slayer of Christians. Paul was like a bounty hunter who went out and hunted them, Christians, and brought them back to the Romans to be thrown in the lions' dens and stuff. He was a bad, bad man. Now, let's get to this forgetting what's behind me pardon thing. He's going out writing books and preaching the gospel. He's standing there at Madison Square Garden or New Jersey, the Staples Center or wherever he's doing his crusades. And in that audience are children of fathers and mothers that he's killed. He's there talking about the forgiveness and the love and mercy of God, and there are people who are sitting there whose life were forever altered by his prior decisions. He's got blood on his hands. How many of you are going to his crusade knowing that he killed your family member? I understand, and now so do you, why he could say, forgetting those things which are behind me, I press forward with real conviction. He had to understand grace and mercy and the pardon of iniquities in a way that the average person would never understand. You got to go now and preach to people whose lives you destroyed. And now you got a reputation. You big. He on TV and everything. You see, you know, he's there. There he is. He had to understand pardon in a different way. So look at me. You think you can now receive your pardon? Ain't nothing you'll kill no bunch of people's family members and stuff, right? You may have said some stuff that you hadn't been to say and hurt some people's feelings, but you ain't literally thrown nobody in no lion's dens, right? You think maybe you can stop judging yourself and, you know, if God's checking you, then receive the judgment, repent, be free, and be free. If this was a needed word for somebody, can I see your hand? Be free and be free. Why? You might as well practice. Because like I said, you will mess up again. You will make a mistake again. It will happen. Be free and be free. Okay, let's bring this home. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth for such who keep his covenant, which we did, and his testimonies. What are we talking about? What are his testimonies? I'm going to give it to you in one simple word. You ready? His witness. The Lord's ways are what? What it says? loving kindness and goodness, truth and faithfulness. Only at which? For what? For who? For those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. So he's saying this. You listening? Real simple word, but very profound. You listening? You sure? I don't believe you. Okay. Your job is simple. It's real, real simple. It's profound, but it's simple. Never forget the goodness of the Lord, no matter what your circumstance is. That's your responsibility. Those are those who keep his testimonies. I don't care what it looks like. I'm going to remember, even if I'm upset, and even if I feel mad at him at that moment, which I don't ever remember getting. But I'm going to remember. You're listening to me?
Yes.
You're listening to me?
Yes.
You're listening to me?
Yes.
While you're having your little complaint thing, you better make sure you stop and say, but I remember the good, and I remember the testimonies, and I remember when you brought me out of this, and I remember when you brought me out of that, and I remember when you looked out for me there. I know I'm upset right now, but let me not forget your testimonies. It is my job. Are you listening to me? I know I'm saying that a lot because this is so important. This is how you protect your seed. It is my job, no matter what the situation is, to continue to be a light to everybody watching me and to say, yeah, right now this sucks, but let me tell you something. I remember the times in the past that I've been here and I came out. I remember with this time then they told me there was no hope for me and it all worked out. I remember when it looked like I was about to lose everything before and I trusted God and he brought me through. And it is your responsibility and your job to be that example to people regardless of what they say and how it looks. And when whatever the doctor says, it is my job to say, yes, but I believe this and here is why. Boom, 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 boom. And the doctor goes, another religious idiot. Whatever. It is my job. If they don't feel ashamed telling you their stuff, why should you be ashamed telling them yours? It's my job to make sure people know where I stand in this situation. It's my job. Because when God shows up, I need to be able to look at him and say, this is the God I was telling you about, and they can't forget it. They can try, but they told you you only had 3 months to live, and you was like, no, I spoke to the Lord, and the Lord told me, and I remember before when it was some other guys just like you with more experience than you, that have been doing it longer than you, said the same kind of thing, and here's what God did. And it's my responsibility to let you know what I believe in the midst of what you're saying. My testimony is what I live for. They overcame the wicked one by what? The word of their testimony. And the word of their testimony. Look that one up. Look up that verse. They overcame the wicked one by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So it's just not the blood of Jesus alone. It's also the word of the testimony. Your word and your testimony is your delivering factor. That's your raft in the middle of the Atlantic that turns into, people like raft and they say, yeah, he's my life raft. I'm like, God gives me a yacht. Y'all can wait for him in a raft. God, I got a yacht delivering God.
Amen.
With all the comforts. Lord, give me a life raft. Lord, I'll take my yacht. I'll sit in the raft till the yacht get here, but I'm taking my yacht. Huh?
Revelation 12:11.
There you have it. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Your testimony is your anchor in the realm of the spirit and in the earth. Please hear what I just said. It's your anchor. It's your anchor between here and there. Your testimony is what activates the angels. The testimony is what activates your own faith, because you put yourself in remembrance. Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord. What does that mean? He rehearsed his testimonies. He talked about the goodness of God in times past. Read some of the Psalms. David would go to, woe is me, God, I'm going through this and going through, and he goes through, and then he always goes to, but in the past, you delivered me from my enemy. And then he all of a sudden, he goes into this whole speech of that, and then you see the next chapter, and God showed up and David was delivered. And it always comes down to that. Your testimonies are your spiritual history. That's your archives. That's the stuff you anchor yourself on. The devil will do things in the times of trouble to make you think of everything wrong, to keep that testimony out your mouth. But when you start applying that testimony and you start speaking that truth, even you feel better. Even you start going, yeah, as a matter of fact, yeah. Why so downcast, oh my soul? Put your hope in God. See, these are real people writing real stuff. All of a sudden, I'm rehearsing my testimony of my deliverance so many times that now I'm not even seeing where I am anymore. I'm seeing the finish line. And everybody's looking at me going, I don't know. But you better be careful, though, because you just never know. And I'm like, you never know. You never know. No, I say it just like that. People know. You never know. I know. Never know is for people who never know. My testimony proves that I know. I know. I may not know exactly how he's going to do it, but I know he does it. Because I have history and proof. Why? Because I just finished rehearsing my testimony for 45 minutes and an hour. And listen, every time somebody comes to you with the negative, if you start rehearsing your testimonies and start sharing all the time, listen, make little notes in a book. You don't have to, little notes, so you can say, hold, let me get my book out. Okay, let me tell you, July 15th, 2000, okay, wait a minute, let me tell you that. Let me tell you this. And I'm start reading off my results as you're trying to read me yours. Or your expectation for me? People usually get out your way when you do that, you know. I don't know if you've experienced that. You keep speaking hope in the midst of people trying to bring doom and gloom, and that's what they kind of put on you. They just get away from you. They call you crazy. They call you stupid. They call you whatever they want to call you, but they get away from you. Because negative people don't want to be around positive like that. My testimonies. I have time to feel sorry for myself when I'm in my testimony. I have time to feel guilty when I'm in my testimony. I have time to worry about what everybody thinks of me when I'm in my testimony. All of a sudden, there's this conversation between me and God. Are you listening to me? There's this conversation, there's this dialogue, because I'm going to say it. I am now worshiping in its truest form. I'm coming before God with all that he has done. I'm keeping him and me in remembrance of all the good he's done. That's praise, not singing some song that you heard, that you learned in church. You say, I'm just going to have me some praise time and worship. And you stand there and you sing them songs. First of all, you didn't write those lyrics, number one. You borrowing somebody else's blessing, trying to get your own. And if that helps you get through a moment. But the real truth is, you're not going to live off of somebody else's testimony. You're going to need your own. And once I start to do that, my spirit changes. Because I'm not talking about you know what they always say. The Lord never let me down. He's okay, yeah. That's what they say. What do you say? What say ye? Who do men say that I am? They all answer Jesus. They all had something to share. And then Jesus said, who do you say I am? And only one person spoke. What do you say? That's your testimony. So those mercies and the goodness and grace to those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. So here's where I'm going to bring it home. Are you learning something? My conversation, my testimony, my story needs to be consistent. I know a lot of up and down Christians. One moment, Jesus is Lord and everything is good. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, brother. Praise the Lord, Pastor Brown. Then you see him again and they look like hell, ran them over and backed up three times and dragged them halfway down the road. How you doing? Well, you know, it's been very hard. And you know how the enemy is. And you know when you're trying to stand. You know, and I'm like, okay, so I don't know about you, but in my mind, that's their testimony. See? See how you all responded? You know when you see them what they're going to say. You know. You see they know on your call ID, you breathe three times and say a prayer before you hit answer. Because you know what their testimony is. You're not seeing, yeah, you're here where I'm going now, right? Maybe that was the last example I needed to give to bring it home. You know whiny, oh, every time you hear from them, it's going to be some drama. You know it. In Jesus' name. All kind of drama. Woo, drama in the church, drama on the job, drama when I went to the beauty salon, drama in the supermarket, and a woman had the nerve to bang her car into me. I said, Lord Jesus, give me patience not to smack this bee. Listen, you know them. That's their testimony. And God said he's good and he's gracious to those who keep his testimonies. His mercy overflows those who keep his testimony. What am I going to talk to you about? I'm going to talk to you about how the Lord has blessed me, the things God brought me from, the God brings me through, the things I'm expecting him to do every day. And if you ask me, are you okay? Yeah. Listen, when the whole high blood pressure thing and that, you heard about that one time. Yep, this is what happened. This is what the doctor said. And everything you heard me say after that was exactly what my testimony was. But I was here before and he healed me. And I was there and he brought me out. And I was this way before. And I remember I had no job, I had no home. And he did this. And I remember we had to live with Rainey. And now look at what this. That's all you hear me talk about. That's my testimony. You know me for that. That's why every time I share with you something I'm believing for, you're expected to happen. My testimony is consistent. I may not have it all figured out, but my testimony is consistent. You say, oh, we got to see Pastor. He's, you know, some stuff happening. He's going to probably be whiny. It's probably going to be a bad day for him. You never have to think about that. You never think about it because you never expect it to happen because you've never seen it to happen. Some of you have been around me for decades and never seen it, and you never will. Even in my roughest times, when I lost my kid, my testimony was still the same. Yes, I was hurting. Yes, I was in pain. Yes, I was going through, but my testimony was consistent. I told you what I expected to believe. I told you what I expected to learn. I told you I expected to find out what mistakes were made that wouldn't be made again. I told you what I expected God to do going forward. I shared with you what God had done for me in the past, and I told you, even though I didn't understand how I would get through this situation, I knew I would. And never wavered one time on that. Those who've been around long enough, can you bear witness with me? Because I understand the power of my testimony. What's your testimony? What people know you and your job for? You the one they come to for good gossip? That's your testimony. You the one they come to for dirty jokes? That's your testimony. So you say, I need to be preaching on that? No, you need to be known for just that. They call you queen because you have an example in front of them that represents Queen Esther. That's what they call you because that's your testimony. They see it. The things that don't line up with your testimony, you're still working on those. But there's a testimony. People, there's something about you that they know. There's something about everybody in this room. There's something about you that people know you for. They know you for it. Being consistent, being inconsistent. Being always sad and pitiful, being always happy and joyful. Sherry's known for the laugh. Give it to us. Give it to us. See? Come on, that's snow for it. That's the trademark. You understand what I'm saying? What are you known for? What's your testimony? This is how you overcome the wicked one. This is how you protect that seed. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. Watch your cotton picking mouth with what the Bible's saying. Break it down in natural human terms. Speak right. Be careful what you're feeding into your heart through your own mouth. You know, you got to be careful what you hear. Yeah, you need to be more careful about what you say, too. You hearing, yes, change your hearing. But if you're speaking right, you start to push away from you the stuff, the negative saying. Because people that speak like that don't want to stay around you when your testimony is brave. Cowards don't hang around the strong. They find other cowards. Your testimony's powerful. So people don't understand why I won't take their calls and they think I'm being, you know, no pastor, you being a little. Listen, I'm on a different level. If I know you for 5 years and I still have to have the same conversation with you every time I speak to you, I'm not going to speak to you. I'm going to hug you and say, praise the Lord, and move away from you as fast as I can. We have nothing in common. Your testimony don't feed me. I don't want to be around it. See, come on. You all know somebody like that. It's hard sometimes to believe that you're somebody like that. But we all have somebody that we've chosen not to be around. Or not to have a conversation with like that, other than hello, how you doing, praise the Lord, whatever, and keep it moving. Some of them, you even while saying praise the Lord, and they'll say, from your mouth to God's ears, whatever, go to hell, whatever. I don't want to say nothing to you. Just move. Right, because you don't want to hear it because you already know they're going to counteract you with all their negativity. We're all going to hell. Well, go on then. Have fun. I have time for that. So please understand, if you can look at somebody and say, I don't want their company because this is where they are, they bring me down. Understand, you, unless you are really keeping your testimonies, you are that to somebody else. And they don't want to be around and talk to you. Guard your heart. But the scripture also says, Lord, put a watch on my mouth, keep a guard over the door of my lips. That's in the Psalms. You can look that one up too. I'm like drawing a blank. I usually spit them out because I know where they are, but right now, and I just want to stay focused on my points. My mouth, he said, put a watch on my mouth, keep a guard over the door of my lips. Let your testimonies be strong. Let your testimonies be sure. If you don't know what your testimony is yet, you sit down and think about it. And if you don't have any testimonies to share, it ain't nobody's fault but yours. Psalm 141, verse 3. Psalm 141, verse 3. Am I giving you some good stuff today? Yes. I want to end it on that. Your testimony is to be protected. It's to be watched over. You keep covenant. We went through that. You can go back in the messages. And I asked them to go into the notes online. I sent you an email today and put the verses on all these titles. Because you're looking at not 1 through 9, 1 through 10. That's not going to help anybody pinpoint whatever they're looking for. I want the verse numbers on there.
And I know you have the description, that's good, but we want the verses. Because I want you to be able to go back, for those who are going to do it, and look at it, and study it, and listen to it again, and understand that I think this is one of the most powerful messages I've done. And I do. If you don't agree, that's on you. But I know for me it is, and I know for people who receive it, it will be. So, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. Verse 10 again. Such unto such who keep his covenant and his testimonies. Last verse, verse 14. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear or reverence him, and he will show them that covenant. So he keep those who keep his covenant, and he said, and if and his secrets he will show to you. I love the fact that the secrets of the Lord are available to us. That the Lord does not work in mysterious ways to me. That he tells me and he shows me. And when I let him guide me in the choices that I should make, I'm never wrong. Stay focused. Stay prayerful. Stay joyful. Whatever things are pure, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are praiseworthy, whatsoever good report, there be any virtue, be any praise thing on these things. I think that's Philippians 4, what? Philippians 4, 4, 8? 4 through 8. Philippians, what chapter? 4 through 8. Thank you. I'm telling you, this is the season. This is the time. We're in the last month of the year coming up. Some major accomplishments have happened for everybody here to some degree. Some say, I don't see any major accomplishments. Well, that's your testimony. And that's why. Last thing I do want to say. A lot of people come to me, and this is a conversation I had back with Nellie, and I just had it last week with Merle. People want to come to me and they will say, and the Lord said, and the Lord said, and I'm going to do this business, and the Lord said, and the Lord said, and the Lord said, and the Lord said, and the Lord said. And they think it validates their statement because they're saying the Lord says. It does not. And it does not mean anything's going to come to pass. It just means you're just saying what the Lord said. It always comes down to, and what have you received? After the Lord said it. So he said, to many of those who received the word became sons and daughters of God. Just because he said it don't mean anything. He said he wished that no man perish. A lot of them do. It's not that he said it. What does it mean now? What do you receive? Because then that becomes part of your testimony. Once you receive it, now you speak it. And now you speak it with life and you speak it with authority and God can do something with it. But it means nothing because you heard it. It only means something because you received it and it becomes your testimony. Amen. Don't come to me and tell me God said nothing because I'm going to ask you, so what do you say? And what do you say is not going to be what you say out of your mouth, but what you do shows me what you're really saying. And when you say to me, the Lord has said, and I can tell you it's just saying it, like I should buy it because you're saying the Lord said it, let me explain something to you. I've been around long enough to know better than that. I'm not a novice. And I do know that most of what is said by the Lord to us goes unfulfilled for most Christians who don't understand the power of covenant. My life was a living proof of that. A lot of stuff went unfulfilled, and God clearly said it. A lot of things went unfulfilled, and God clearly said it. This, what I gave you today, is your anchor. Well, not just today, this whole series. I suggest you listen to it all from beginning to end.
and again and again and again until you can't see it any other way. And I promise you, your life will change forever and you'll never be able to go back. In Jesus' name, amen.